Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everyone. It's the MXP podcast. I'm Paul Meach, and that's Chris Pajak. One of them's that real surname. Well, maybe.
Yeah, none of them are, really.
Yeah. It's fine.
One of them's a made-up surname, and so is the other.
Right, we're going to page in a moment, which if you're new to the podcast, is just things that have done our head in that we just like to get off our chest. We're going to talk, we've done a few things this week, so a little catch-up, and then we're going to delve into the things that are nailed on to happen in the new Premier League season. Premier League preview content, but it's fire content for this time of the year, so we'll delve into all of that kind of stuff in due course. But are you ready to page?
I'm ready to page. So my page, it has been bubbling under for 3 weeks, maybe. Ooh. And it really shouldn't have bubbled under for this long.
Perfect. Yeah, no, to be fair, I've known you a long time, and you are a man who holds a grudge. So
I'm holding a grudge against the packeted sandwich that I bought in America.
Okay.
Right, because you know all about it, and we spoke about it a little bit last week and stuff, and, you know, we got to America, we had to go and find clothes, we then didn't have food, so we went to a pharmacy to buy food.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at loads of different things, and I decided on a sandwich. Okay. And it was a fantastic looking sandwich.
Mm.
But here's the page. I am purging fresh tomatoes on packaged sandwiches.
What, too wet?
It was too wet.
Too wet.
And the thing is, it was on the bottom, it was underneath the meat. Right, so there was no barrier between the meat and the lovely soft bread. So it's on like this beautiful sub roll, and it's got like wet lettuce, wet tomato, seeds blown out everywhere, ham, cheese, mayo, and this beautiful bread lid. But what happened at the bottom is it looked like a fucking a flip-flop made out of cabbage leaves that had been soaked in a swimming pool.
Wow, so that's a very specific thing for that to look like. I can't say that I've ever seen one of those myself. But
I opened my sandwich, and it was like 11 o'clock at night. I'd had a cup, I think I'd bought some ciders because I couldn't drink any more beer. And I sat down, I got a plate out, and I got a lovely robe on. And I'd taken a few pictures of me willy in these mad mirrors. And then I went to eat my sandwich more on the mirrors.
I wasn't there, I saw the mirrors, carry on.
So I went to eat my sandwich, and I opened it up and I put it on the plate, and it looked fantastic. And I put my fingers up, I picked it up, essentially I burst the sandwich in two as my wet cabbage leaf bread broke and disintegrated. And then I had to fold over the lid of my sandwich to then just eat half a butty. And it's all because of this damn wet tomato. I mean, it's fine if you're in a Subway and you're going to put it on there and you're going to eat it straight away. But don't give me leaky tomato on packaged sandwiches. Purge.
Purge. Consider your butty purged. Do you feel better?
No, I feel angry. I never feel better after these purges.
Just opened the wounds.
Yeah,
up again,
that's it. Like, yeah. I just picked it and then...
Yeah, package butties are the shit, aren't they? I, this week, and this is one that this has been bubbling under for years, and I've been meaning to do this every week, and I keep forgetting, and then I come across it in the way. I come across one of these things at least once a week, and it enrages me.
Small people.
No. God, everyone's smaller than me. But, that would be a really weird thing for me to have. Big people is my thing. People are taller than me. There's no need to be any tall. I'm too tall. Unless you're going to be a wrestler or a basketballer, there's no need to be any taller than 6'4". It's just a waste.
Okay.
Just makes life more expensive and painful. My purge this week is, and I'm going to use air quotes for this because I think it's, you understand why, is self-closing toilet seats. Okay. What they mean is toilet seats that don't stay up. Is basically what they say.
Broken toilet seat.
No. This is the increased feminization of modern culture. Because look, it's the age old thing about women can't handle a toilet seat being up because apparently they have a genetic inability to look at a toilet before they sit down on it. So like the amount of women who I can only imagine.
Do they back into cubicles?
Based on the
they open the door and yes. go like this.
Based on the vociferous arguments I have had from countless women close to me and far apart from me and in pubs, bars, restaurants, it's social settings, non-social settings, up for years of my adult life, women, there's a lot of women who do not take the look before you leap thing, you know, to heart. Too many women I know who have told me stories about how they have fallen down a toilet. And that shouldn't be on me. Now, because I get it. Like my daughter is so jealous that she can't wee standing up. She's like, "Dad, can I do it?" And I'm like, "Baby, I genuinely wish you couldn't." I know there's a technique. We're not going to get into it. Like, but it's just more effort than it's worth, my love. Just sit. You just have to sit on the toilet. And I'm sorry. I wish I could make the world better for you. Because there's loads of things that are terrible about being a girl. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean, it's just loads harder to be a woman than it is to be a man. Just, it is.
Experience or?
But yeah, but living with the poor wretches, like, you know what I mean? The amount of stuff they have to live with that we don't have to live with, other than them who have to live with it.
The poor wretches.
No, but like, bloody hell, imagine having to bleed out of your cock for a week every month. I'm sorry, but if you have to live
Paul.
With that, you've got a hard, you've got a much harder life than us, so don't listen to our general complaints. But in this regard, it seems a frivolous thing, but it's all tied into the same problem, because I take a stand, literally. I'm not going to sit down and have a wee. I'm sorry. You know, there are instances, very, very rare occurrences, where I will take up that option. It's largely in the middle of the night if I've got a kid who's a light sleeper and I don't want the loud sound of me having a heavy wee in the middle of the night.
Or you're playing your Nintendo Switch.
Oh yeah, I'm looking for a hefty session on Doom or Dragon Ball or whatever at this point. But so I will still piss with the toilet seat down, but because I don't like this act of having to somehow. But again, sorry for the audio listeners, but I'm standing. You have to, like, sort of hold it with one hand while also holding it with the other hand. And now, I'm not the kind of man who fully unbuckles and drops trow. You know what I mean? I'm not in infant school anymore. I don't piss with me fucking kecks around my ankles. I go out through the fly and through the boxes. So I need to have one hand is active. So then to have the other hand pinned in the toilet. I'm more likely to piss everywhere doing that. So I will trust my aim.
You've got to. You're a 36-year-old man.
Absolutely. I've come this far.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to back yourself. I've said this before in this podcast, I'm not a gambling man, but I will bet on myself. And I'll bet on myself to get most of it in the toilet. But I also know, and this is where I understand where the problems come from, because again, they're not self-closing. It's complete horseshit. They just don't stay open for long, is the point. In which case, you've got an Indiana Jones-style situation where they slow close, and you've somehow got to you
get under
back,
the door,
pin it back, and then get back in there and get a full flow force in under the gap before the toilet seat closes on you, like the transfer window slamming shut. Which is a fucking, it's fun once, but it gets less fun the more time it splashes back and all over your knees. So I mean,
we've all been there as well, where you can see it coming down, you don't have enough time, you just have to pinch, stop, wait for it to come down and restart.
So I've got to a point in my life where I won't, yeah. Who's with us? I'm 36, I won't allow myself to be in that situation anymore. I'll leave the seat down, I'll go for it, and if I have to wipe up afterwards, I have to wipe up afterwards. That's the nature. I'd rather wipe than sit down. I enjoy the privilege, the genetic privilege of being able to stand up and have a wee. But men are complicit in this, because what I would also, I will take a page and a half this week, because I will happily purge any men who piss on a toilet seat and leave piss on the toilet seat, because that might take a sizable chunk of the population. Now, probably a lot of tabloid newspaper readers and a lot of the people who are the worst people to have around at concerts and football matches. But I'm taking them out, because I know women also have to contend with the situation when it's a shared toilet situation. Why would you have to come in and use a toilet when you 100% of your toilet uses require you to sit down. It's not pleasant to have to sit down in a wee toilet seat situation. So I'm purging self-closing toilet seats, but I will purge men who piss and leave piss on the seats, and I will consider the knock-on ramifications.
Okay, a slight observation, nothing to do with your purge, but just an observation about men and toilets. Everyone who's been to a festival will probably know this, but when you go to a big festival and you've got those sort of 25-metre circles and there's just loads of urinals in the middle and there's like a cotton wall or whatever it is, a metal wall with something around it so you can't see inside. Uh-huh. Yeah, it happens all the big festivals. It happens at some of the ones in like Sefton Park and stuff. Why do men queue up to get in there, realise there's nowhere to piss, and then just piss everywhere? Why don't they just go against the tree on the way there?
It's the same reason why smokers, when they finish the cigarette, look around for a bin, see another cigarette butt on the floor and throw it as near to that cigarette as they possibly can, because whoever
somebody else did it first.
Yeah, who's the first person? Now I agree, the first person to fucking break that tight, to break that, like the first person who pisses in a sink in a gents toilet in magic. Nah, I mean, I get it. Look, there are situations where, you know, there are extenuating circumstances to all things. There are exceptions that prove rules. There are dramatic circumstances that can unfold in a person's life that will cause you to break with the tradition of having to go through the standard toilet routine. But you're right. There's a pack mentality that happens with men when it comes to those kind of situations, the lawlessness of it all. But I think that's it. I think the reason men piss on toilet seats is because they haven't got the mams telling them off.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's like, oh, and they've had a bevy, and everyone gets a bit naughty when they've had a bevy. Heavy, don't they? Particularly if you're younger. You know, I've done some horrible things at parties in my teenage years and stuff like that. Like, but you know, now I'm growing up, I'm a mature man. Well, just you're not as, you go for a piss and you just like, wait, look how I'll try and get it up and down into the fucking hole, take the piss, because I'm not the one cleaning up. But you know, we've all been knobheads. I remain a knobhead, but just less so in this way. So yeah, purging seat pisses and soft closing, automatically closing toilet
seats. My purge around that, I don't have a self-closing toilet seat or a toilet seat that doesn't stay up.
Your downstairs one's not great. I think that's got a, or maybe it's gotten better, but that used to be in a similar vein.
So
I remember them all.
they stay with you, don't they? So my thing is, like, it's the arguments about it. It's like, why can't you just put the seat down? And I'm like, well, why can't you, why do I have to lift it up?
Yeah,
why can't you put it down?
Yeah,
share the work, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
why am I doing 100% of the work here? Why am I lifting it up and putting it down?
Exactly.
This is a marriage. It's give and take.
Absolutely, 100%.
You know what I mean?
But don't give us the bullshit. I'm happy for the argument of, if there's piss on the seat, that's disgusting, because you don't, why are you wiping up someone else's piss? But I'm not having this, like, because you can fall down, I think. That's Darwinism, that. Like, what we should do is make toilets more dangerous, to discourage that from people as a species. Because if you could die by falling down a toilet, then people would be more inclined to look before they did it. I'm just saying, it's extreme measures, Chris.
I'll be honest, right? I'm not even sure you need a seat.
No.
Like, it just seems stupid. Yeah. It's like,
it's the same thing. It's 3 centimeters removed from the porcelain. Maybe slightly warmer.
Well, why don't you just make the porcelain bigger and just make it
smaller?
Yeah, just make it and just put a lid on it. If you're worried about smell escaping, I just don't see the point of it in the first place. It's like washing up bowls for me. Washing up bowls are just things that make your sink smaller. You've already got the sink.
We've had this point. You've got a double sink.
Yeah.
So it makes sense, but you need to have water to wash and you need to have space to rinse. That's why you need washing up bowls. Washing up bowls you need to have a washing up bowl. But if you've got a double sink, then it's not an issue for you. So you're past the need for it.
Well, you've just got to evolve. Got to evolve like us. Yeah, you know what I mean? Get a sink that's functional.
But you only get so much kitchen. We haven't all got big houses, Chris. I'm just saying.
Well,
I mean, some of us have got to live in council houses.
Have.
Like,
you should
mean?
Have.
So yeah, let's thoughts on our pages this week in the comments on the YouTube. Interesting week. You enter the Community Shield in a smart blazer shirt combination.
Yeah, I had to buy the shirt and the blazer.
Right, we've got these tickets. Okay, cool. I'm getting my tickets sorted for that. That's a very good thing. You need to wear a blazer and a shirt. Ah,
Bollocks.
You look great, though.
Thanks, mate. I didn't feel great. I felt terrible all day.
It's weird going to the footy in anything other than than comfortable clothes. I've had this in the past where you go, we had a couple of tickets in the main stand for these things for Liverpool, particularly when you then go and film afterwards. I feel like a fucking massive fraud. I feel like I don't feel comfortable in either environment. I feel like a fraud walking into high-end corporate, because that's not me. And I feel like a total fraud then walking out back into my normal life dressed like a fucking, like a posh wanker. Like, so yeah, I think... Did you have a good experience, though?
It was a good day. It was really good. Like, you know, it was long. You know, we were there at like 9:15 in the morning. We went to this McDonald's grassroots award ceremony, which was actually really interesting. Just because there's loads of, it's like, do you remember when we went to like the Football Blogging Awards, or no, sorry, the Northwest Football Awards, mm-hmm. and we saw like a football team that was for specific types of people and stuff like that, and it was just these people who were like, I forget the name of the lady, she was a Muslim lady who wanted to create a football team for Muslims because it's such a white sort of influenced sport, mm-hmm. and the kids didn't feel comfortable, so she created a team, and she spends her life outside of work making a football team for Muslim people to feel comfortable and stuff like that. And so we just got to meet some really cool people, mm-hmm. then we obviously had an interview with Danny Murphy, and we got to go pitch side for the warm-ups. And the big takeaway from the warm-ups, and I don't think I've ever stood behind the goal for warm-ups, because I've stood side onto the pitch for warm-ups uh-huh. before, but I was like the net and then the end of the pitch and then where the cameramen were, I was right there, and the speed that they were kicking the ball,
velocity with which those balls are struck, yeah,
honest to God. Because I was saying on the, I think the final word or something, it's like, it wasn't like half footy, you know what I mean? Those balls were staying hit, and it was like, it was terrifying, to be honest with you. It was terrifying. Like,
you see why they do put the safety nets up around yeah. it now? Because if you got clocked, it, like, particularly unawares, like, I've taken footballs to the family goalkeeper for yonks. I've, in like cold winter days, put rock hard cases. I've been in the face with footy so many times, and it absolutely wrecks. But you're right. Professional footballers. If anyone, we noticed this. We played five-a-side months ago, and there was a lad who was on the box at Blackpool, and you can always tell lads who are on the ladder of footy, because they kick it harder and straighter than everyone else. And if that hits you when you're not looking,
it is game over. Like, and then yeah, so then we got pitch sides, and we had the booing thing and all that, and that was.
Can you tell the story about how Aubrey ruined the
absolutely. The photographs. So yeah, we were like pitch side, and we were right in front of the teams essentially as they were doing their team photographs. So first of all, like the national anthems and stuff, but then they went to do the team photos.
But as where are you position wise on the?
We're right in front. We're right in front of Klopp's seat essentially. So nearly on the halfway line. We're just towards the Liverpool side. Liverpool teams here. That's the halfway line. Man City teams here. We're just on the edge there. We've been told that's the only place we can go. We can't move forward. We can't.
So on the touchline.
So we're on the touchline, and Aubrey's just recording them, and then we're like, everyone's like, get out the way, get out the way. So all the photographers are behind us, and they want the team photos and stuff. And I'm like, Aubrey! And he's got his headphones in, he's got a road mic on, so all he can hear is the crowd singing.
And he's just there.
And every photographer is raging because they're not getting the team photograph. Aubrey's blocking the centre of the team photograph. And I end up like running up and grabbing him, like, get out the way. And as we walk off, the photographer's like, well, that was a fucking waste of time. And there's about 12 photographers whose job it is to get that photograph, absolutely fucking raging at Aubrey, and it was so funny.
Oh, that's brilliant. Absolutely.
And then I blanked Klopp, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently, Aubrey was saying, like, they literally, because they didn't, nobody really likes doing them photos, they didn't, like, linger around for it. So there was, like, a brief, like, they got in, the ones who crouched down, they pretty much got straight off, and Aubrey was, like,
full in shot.
Absolutely amazing. That missed Aubrey. I miss Aubrey Daly.
It was brilliant.
You discussed it on the final word show, but just briefly, loads of people have asked me about the Liverpool fans booing the national anthem thing. I booed the national anthem. I have no great affinity for it. You've made a great point. Like, it kicked off, and I waited for You'll Never Walk Alone to kick off, and it never did. And I've got no problem. I can't stand the national anthem. And this is not just like a music critique, because let's be honest,
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Yeah.
How did I know you were going
to
say that?
Yeah, Jerusalem, sing Jerusalem. I mean, I'm not even big on the whole religious side of things. It's a much better song. You see the rugby, again, not a big rugby fan, but like when you see rugby fans singing that, like, bring me my bow, I'm burning, bring me my arrows. It's got something to get your teeth into, haven't it? Like, you know, whereas like God Save the Queen is just like a fucking limp wank, isn't it? Particularly if you're thinking about it. But no, I just sing a song about someone's nan. I'm not really into it. And look, I'm not a royalist, so you'll get this. Like, you'll get this from this thing. Like, but I what happened there is two things. Liverpool haven't been on that type of stage in a long time. So like, we haven't been in an FA Cup final in a few years, and we certainly haven't been in the Community Shield for a number of years as well. So those like very national, you know, nationalised television programmes that, you know, people from all over the country watch, and because it's the centre of pride and all that kind of stuff. And obviously now in a more prevalent social media age where everyone is looking for a bit of outrage. Because that's what I've seen, that, you know, the largest is more just like people using this as a stick with which to say, to continue to highlight their clearly obvious hatred for Scousers, you know. This is why we hate Scousers. Not like, I saw the Scousers doing this, I don't really like them doing that. It's like, we already hate Scousers, and this is the reason why, blah, blah, blah. I personally reserve my right to detest the way the country is run, and detest the strong dislike for the monarchy and of course the establishment.
The monarchy, I don't care about the monarchy. I think is it's a drain on public funds.
That's what my
issue with that is. Yeah. As people, I don't know them. I don't care. They don't seem like bad people. You know what I mean?
100%. Someone will reply to this in the comments, because someone always does, with the money that they bring into the economy. Sure. And I know there's a tourist attraction side of things too, but like, I still boil down to it. If they're also quite financially well, independently wealthy people as well, pay for your own house renovations. Just saying. You know what I mean? It's all those little things that tie into it. When you've got...
It would be great if, you know, I could go up to Liverpool City Council and go, listen, I need to renovate my house.
Yeah.
And I said, why?
When you can't fund the fucking NHS and there's people, you know, homeless, and there's people, there's food banks and all that, I find it all a bit crass to be spending money completely on royal weddings and all this kind of stuff. And the country needs things to rally behind. And if people love it, fine, they can love it. But you've got to also accept with anything in life that if you're not keen or something, you've got a right to protest, and you've got a right to to register your discuss. Liverpool has been so maligned for so long, and it's the chicken and egg stuff. It's like, you're doing this because we hate you, and it's like, no, we hate you because you do this. It's like, no, we do this because you hate us.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You know, I mean, it's a reaction to 30 years of social degradation and also disenfranchisement and a whole host of other things. And Tony Evans wrote a brilliant piece on this.
Absolutely brilliant.
And it's an open letter to Jacob Rees-Mogg and his kids as well, about, you know, who are purportedly Liverpool fans, and how... It ties into this whole thing for me about this hatred of people say Liverpool fans. and Scousers. I can't abide people who say, I hate Liverpool fans. If you've never met a Scouser in the flesh and you've never had a chat and a conversation with a Scouser, then I can't stand the blanket, like the blanket hatred of it all. And also, I think there's a degree to which, you know, there's people, maybe there's people who've got no connection to it who are kicking off of it. If you like the Royals and them and all that kind of stuff, then don't feel like you need to naturally get involved with it. I don't like singing the Margaret Thatcher songs particularly. She's dead, great, but you know, it's done now. You know what I mean? Move on.
Here's the thing, right? If you're a Royalist and you're watching this and you're angry with the fact that Liverpool fans booed the national anthem, know that we're not booing the Queen. Or I wasn't.
No, great. Okay.
I wasn't booing the Queen. Then I was booing the fact that this government hasn't done enough for this city, Liverpool, and its people and its community. And what I find really interesting is it's called the Community Shield, Paul.
Yeah.
And we were standing up for ours.
Yeah.
And that has not been reported absolutely anywhere,
mate. I completely agree. It's nationalism on a whole. I find nationalism a bit dangerous, and I don't like getting behind it. Like when we were in the States, and they do. Like I like the pure. In its purest core, I like the idea of something to rally behind. I like that, like the community, a feeling, a national spirit. I like, but I don't like when you see like the American thing and the people kicking off when a flag touches the floor and all that. And look, I don't want to tread on people's, you know, thoughts, feelings, and opinions and all this kind of stuff. Like, but for me, all I see is a piece of cloth. All I see is an old lady who's been born into massive privilege, who gets all of these things, and I have no connection with that. I feel disenfranchised from the country as a whole. I feel a greater identity with a bunch of people who put on footy shirts and go and watch a game than I do with my country as a whole. And that's not on me to engage more with the country. That's how far this country has fallen away from what the core ethoses that I fundamentally believe in. And I find them more and better within the confines of my city than I do elsewhere. So it's hypocritical of me to be full into all that nationalism stuff. I could have remained quiet. I considered turning me back on it, but again, it's like, I'll just abuse a simple but effective way of getting your message across, unless then the message isn't looked into, which mercifully it has been. There's been a lot of good journalism done off the back.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I know that Si Hughes from Now The Athletic interviewed me on it and stuff yesterday afternoon, and now he's done a piece, it should be going out, it should have gone out this week at some point, mm-hmm. with views from not just me but from another few other people and stuff like so. I'll be really interested to read that one. As you mentioned, that Tony Evans one was like the first one that I saw, mm-hmm. thought it was brilliant as well. And if anybody's out there who's a Liverpool fan who backs the sort of ethos of this football club and, you know, the political views of most of its and a large proportion of its fans, you can do so much more reading on the subject, mm-hmm. and you can see why we're angry with the government, you know, going back to the 80s and the 70s and everything that Margaret Thatcher did against our city, the cover up against Hillsborough, you'll all know about already. Educate yourselves. If you want to come and have a proper gentlemanly discussion, as it were, in the comments, then I will have a discussion with absolutely anybody in the comments at any time, but we have to keep it civil, basically, okay, because we'll both be able to get our points across. But please do read up on it first without just calling me a scumbag Scouser who's a bin dipper, because we're not going to engage in any type of thing where either of us could learn otherwise.
Absolutely, completely agree with all that. Loosely sticking with the topic of football, Chris, the Community Shield is out the way. The Premier League kicks off this weekend. I thought it'd be good fun for us to discuss, because what I've discovered, we're entering into our 10th season on YouTube of Red Men. It's actually our 11th year of doing Red Men TV within two now, and I really struggle to get myself motivated for this season, because I see the same stories over and over and over again. Football stopped being able to surprise me in some ways, and now the beauty of Jurgen Klopp and the beauty of his Liverpool side is that, you know, it's been able to have a few big surprises and big moments that have kind of restored my faith along the way. But when you come to this time of year, it's like YouTube, and I'm going to do it on my YouTube channel as well, like season prediction content, because, you know, it's super amazing, original idea. Let's do some season prediction content. We're not immune to that, so we're going to do that here. But I want to talk through nailed on shouts from our years of experience of being football fans, not like, here's what might happen. Let's just go fucking balls out and just tell people exact. Because, you know, that BT did that thing, didn't he? With like a, I think
it
was, yeah, with that big social media campaign, which, you know, was like clever. But, you know, with that and the Paddy Power fucking gobshites as well. Like, you mean, I kind of just, I see that stuff and I go, that's a good idea. I wish it wasn't being done by a multi-million pound corporation or whatever. Anyway, tell me something that is absolutely going to happen this season.
Newcastle are going to get relegated.
Newcastle are 100% getting relegated from the Premier League. Steve Bruce will be sacked with between 6 weeks and a month left to go in the season.
Oh,
nailed on.
I think pre-Christmas.
Oh, wow.
I'm going pre-Christmas. I think he's probably the first manager to get the sack.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not a nailed on. Newcastle going down is the nailed
Newcastle
on.
Newcastle nailed on. The time in which Steve Bruce gets, now, for me, nailed on. And they'll do what Newcastle do. They'll get some fucking mad caretaker.
Big Sam in at Christmas again.
And it's going to be whoever's going to be available, who's on the merry-go-round and who's available. So obviously the Big Sam thing's there. No, well, then again, Roy Hodgson probably be sacked by Crystal Palace by that point, so he'll be available. There'll be someone shite that they will get in, or it'll be some like nostalgia figure to take charge of the reins and steady the ship whilst they go down again. Speaking of which, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be getting the sack as Man United boss before the new year, or in January at the very latest.
Nailed on. Solskjaer gets the sack this season.
100%. It was, the writing was on the wall the second they handed him that permanent deal when he had that brilliant run. And correct me if I'm wrong, listeners and viewers, but I believe he holds the record for the best and worst starts as a Amazing. Premier League manager, because his caretaker period was the best ever start, and then when he signed the professional contract, I think the similar period there was for Manchester United.
Yeah, that's brilliant, and I am fully behind him getting the sack. So my other nailed on shout is that they get rid of VAR.
VAR gets binned off.
Either at the end of this season or at the end of its run, whatever it is, it's decided that VAR is absolutely pants and they just have to back out.
Oh, wow. Really? I'm the other way on that, is that we're going to have 6 months or 3 months of everyone tearing VAR to pieces. Turn it apart. There'll be loads of terrible. There's going to be a record number of handballs for penalties in the Premier League season, because football players will do what Mane did in the Champions League final, and they'll just start kicking it in people's arms. And there'll be all these calls and saying it's rubbish, and then basically, rather than realise it's a bad idea, pardon me, they'll just double down on it, and eventually the conversation will just move on, and people will become accepting of it, and you'll have, by the end of the season, going into next season, the really big, culturally established clubs, Liverpool being one of them, and you might find another couple, but I won't name them just yet, is do what like Munich and Dortmund and that do, and have like fuck VAR signs up in their main stands by the end of the season, and it will change nothing because they're all in committed. You told me something about this before recording.
Yeah,
about
the 3 o'clock. I've not had time to properly research it, but I believe it's broken just before we recorded. That they're only going to, like, it's obviously going to be done, I think it's in Stockley Park, so it's obviously not on site for all the Premier League games. It's one central unit, and it is going to be like the same sort of people. I think they've promoted 3 championship referees to come and do the VAR reffing. And it looks like there's only going to be 5 3 p.m. games on a Saturday being looked at a time. So if there's 6 games on a Saturday, one of those games will not be on the screens for the VAR. I do not know how that works. It literally broke just before we started
recording. If that's true,
it's totally believable, Paul.
Completely believable, and that's why I haven't even questioned it. I haven't even gone to research, and that's lazy of me, incredibly lazy. So I'll caveat it with, if that is true, if we're creating a multi-tier system for VAR in the Premier League, then VAR is already fucked and should be sacked off until they can do it on every single one, because
they can do it on every single one.
But what I mean is they're not. There's a reason
that's
why
the issue.
But that point is that there's a reason that they're not, which means they can't.
Yeah, I bet you this is what the reason is. They only got three refs to do the VAR.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But
just hire another two refs.
But that's what I mean. It's somewhere down the line, whether it's budget,
couple of other big tellies.
Yeah, exactly. But there's somebody has balanced it out and gone, we cannot do cover VAR on.
How many
on
Saturday
all
threes are the first?
Good question. The Saturday threes are 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's only 4 3 o'clocks. So maybe there's a case that there aren't. So maybe that's the most there'll be. So, and maybe there won't be a situation where that happens. It might be that if people are complaining about it, the TV fixtures haven't been done.
I suppose if you look at it this way, there's 10 fixtures every weekend.
Largely, yeah.
Right? A Friday night for most of this season. Mm-hmm. A Saturday 12:30, a Saturday 5:30, and two or three Sunday games.
Yeah. So they're probably okay. But if there is a situation where there's even one game in the Premier League that does not have VAR, then VAR needs to get fucked off, because you're just offering, and we'll judge whether the unfair advantage is in the pros or the cons, you're changing the sport by doing that. Complete and utter fucking bollocks. So yeah, there will be absolute fucking murder. Nailed on, by the way, though. Liverpool, and no one else outside of Liverpool believes this, Liverpool will benefit significantly from VAR this season. Liverpool will go back, in the very bare minimum, will have at least an average amount of penalties at Anfield this season. And if you don't understand the reference I'm making there, Liverpool for the last four seasons have averaged well under the mean for the amount of penalties you get at Anfield. So this notion that there's a bias, an Anfield bias that comes into play,
it's the absolute opposite of that, it's to disprove referees disprove there being a bias by being biased the other way. It's terrible. Okay, I think we've stopped referring to it as the top six at the end of this season.
And what does it become?
City and Liverpool / top two.
Does it go back to being top four then? So it could be, the reference becomes back for getting into the Champions League rather than there being a top six? Or
I don't know. I think it's going to be
two plus.
Who's going to fill the top four? You know what I mean? Like there's just going to be a big fucking gap between Liverpool and Manchester City, and we stop talking about them as the big six, and it's like the big two and then two other teams.
Okay, who is nailed on to be the team that comes up from the Championship and absolutely flying and is in the top four positions by the end of, in and around the end of September?
Well, it's not Sheffield United.
No.
It's not Aston Villa.
Ooh.
And it's not Norwich.
So none of them then. It's not Norwich or Villa. Villa have bought very, very, very sensibly, but it's whether they can get it bedded enough. It wouldn't shock me if Norwich turned it up. I think the fact that they've got us early doors, Liverpool early doors, but they might hinder that or something. Nailed on for me. Frank Lampard has an amazing start as Chelsea boss. Amazing, and everyone's like, oh, there's a big sense of relief. We haven't got Sarri to deal with anymore, blah, blah, blah. So they start flying, and they are banging contention in the top four in the first few months of the season. And then the second they have to start contending with multiple fixtures a week with Europe and all that kind of stuff, it all starts to crumble apart. And then it becomes a race who can be sacked quickest between Lampard and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Okay. Nailed on. And this is probably one that most people will disagree with me. Leicester struggle this season under Brendan Rodgers. And I think he's a good manager. I just don't think it's going to work there, because I don't think he's going to get it a tune out of Vardy.
Okay.
And I think he's bigger than Brendan there.
That's really interesting, that. See, my... There's basically this notion this season that it's on Leicester, Everton and Wolves as the teams most likely to break the dominance of the top six. Nailed on, that will not happen. Everton, I think, will come closest to that.
Yeah.
I think Wolves will have a bit of a tailing off this season. And Leicester could very well go either way. It wouldn't shock me personally to see Leicester nick Everton into seventh, just for the fume of it all, and Brendan smiling down on Marco Silva. But nailed on. Everton will have some real optimism about things. They will have a middle stretch of the season where they think everything is fucked, and they will have just enough around the back end to make them get a little bit of optimism that they can once again to make a challenge to break into that top four, and they, so they can have another summer of, if we get into the Champions League, because I've heard them, I've heard the conversations, but, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to Everton, but the most likely outcome of Everton's season is that. One more nailed on thing though.
Okay.
They're going to win a Merseyside derby this season. Nailed on. Don't shoot the messenger. It's nailed on. I'm not inventing this stuff. This is what's happening in the Premier League this season.
I read something on Twitter, and I've not fact-checked this, but Harvey Elliott's dad was in the Inn 9 the last time they won a derby at Anfield.
If that's true, it's genuinely incredible.
His dad was in the Inn 9.
Well, bear in mind, it can't be far off true, because what year was it? It was like 99, 98, 99. We were in year 10.
Yeah.
So, and I'm older, I'm 20 years older than Harvey Elliott, so I'm old enough to be Harvey Elliott's dad, so that's very, very, very possible. Anyway, The only thing I'm struggling to in the script that's written in my head of the Premier League season, which I'm accessing from the ether, what's not coming through clearly is who's getting relegated. So the only thing I've got right now is nailed on that 6 teams will get relegated.
Okay.
It'll be an unprecedented move for the Premier League to go, these 6 teams are so shit that we're just going to relegate 6 and we're going to bring 6 new ones up from the Championship.
So I think it's 2 of the promoted sides and Newcastle.
Yeah, so...
And I'm going to give the edge to Norwich.
Nailed on.
Sheffield United.
Sheffield United nailed
bottom
on.
Of the league.
Nailed on.
Newcastle
United. Nailed on. Norwich City.
I'm going to go the other way and say Aston Villa go down.
Okay, I think the flip of that, but Aston Villa are going to be in the conversation without a doubt. Burnley, I think, nailed on to go down. Brighton, nailed on to go down. There's fucking tons. There's tons of absolute dross there. I think this is the season. Depending on what happens in the final week of the transfer, what's happened in the final week of the transfer market, where people stop saying the quality of the Premier League is absolutely amazing. I think there is going to be. You're right. I think there's going to be the top two teams. I think there'll be. I think Spurs will be in similar to Chelsea last season. I think Spurs will be right in the conversation from the kickoff. But I think they'll tail off. I think Chelsea will be there, but won't be there for as long. But then you're right. They'll be the top two. Will be 15 to 20 points clear of the rest. Then you will have Spurs nailed on third,
mm-hmm.
fourth nailed on Arsenal, fifth and sixth. It's unclear. Depends who the replacement managers are.
Okay.
Probably Man United fifth.
I'm gonna go outside shout. In fact, no, fuck it. Nailed on. Pochettino leaves mid-season and goes to manage another football club.
And Manchester United finish fifth. Nailed on. Chris Pajak said it. Nailed on, not me.
I mean, I didn't. I just said he left. you filled in the blanks there.
It's the nailed on show. If you're saying stuff, it's because it's nailed on.
Okay, sounds. Nailed on. Does it have? It actually happens as well, doesn't it? Nailed on Liverpool in the league.
Oh, wow.
Because if it actually happens and you just have to say it,
nailed on.
Sounds.
Manchester City win the league, unfortunately. But nailed on, Liverpool go back to Wembley in one of the cup finals this season and win a domestic cup. Not sure which one. The vapours are telling me it's the FA Cup.
It would be a tough ask after winning the World Club Championships to go and then win the Carabao in January.
But then you just... Took everyone up in bed. You'll be 20 points clear of third in the league by that point.
Nailed on. Harvey Elliott scores the winner in the Carabao final. Then,
South. Yeah, I can have that. Top goal scorer, Sadio Mane. Nailed on.
Mo Salah. Nailed on.
Okay, cool. Any more?
Player of the season, Kevin De Bruyne. Nailed on.
If he stays fit, he will. But it's nailed on that Kevin De Bruyne will miss at least 3 months of the season due to injury. So that's the only thing that's going to stand in the way, unfortunately, of that. I'll go full Doctor Strange. I've seen the 14.1 billion possibilities, and it's down to those two.
Okay, sad.
brilliant. Let us know your nailed on Premier League predictions for this season. If you're on YouTube, in the comments, or you can tweet me at the Paul Machin, Chris at Mr. Blood Red on Twitter.
Or last one, nailed on, VAR decides the title.
Okay.
on the last day of the season.
Ooh.
Nobody is happy with the
Nailed
result.
Nailed on. VAR decides the season because Liverpool get a penalty every single game and they win it with 8 to go. If you're watching on YouTube and you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the channel. It always helps. And if you're listening on any of the good podcast apps or even some of the shit ones, leave a 5-star review and some comments on that as well. Anything you'd like us to discuss, any of your favourite moments from the podcast so far, let us know in the comments below. And other than that, we'll be back. We're in Istanbul next week, aren't we? So no podcast from us next week, but we return the week after that, possibly. I'll have to find someone because you go on holiday as well, don't you? We'll figure it out. Stay tuned. It's going to be exciting, possibly. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for watching, for listening.
I can't believe the XO has been cancelled.
The what?
The XO. It's been cancelled.
What's the XO?
TV programme. The OA.
I thought you were just saying Brian and Lawrence were out on their ears there. Like, yeah, you heard it here first, XO.
Nailed on. Nailed on. Yeah, it's been
nailed on. Nailed on, XO. Won't last till the end of the season. You heard it from Chris Bager. The LA's been cancelled, yeah.
I'm gutted, mate.
There's another series I never need to watch. Brilliant. Like all the people who missed out on Journeyman and Flash Forward. Brilliant Flash series forward, that man, you never need to watch because they got
still pains me, that man.
And Firefly.
What the hell happened?
Anyway.
Well, at least he wrapped it up with a film with Firefly.
Did it. Good old Joss Whedon. Thanks. Thanks for watching, listening, subscribing. We'll be back very, very soon. Cheers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.